The Melbourne AA Steps Weekend, 2009. Here's Greg, sharing on Step 6.
Hi, my name's Greg and I am an alcoholic. I'm very gratefully sober today. I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to speak at this this Steps Weekend. This is the fifth annual Melbourne AA Steps Weekend, and I've been involved, because I'm speaking here today, I've been involved in every one. And that's fantastic. This was really, really important to me when I got first got sober. I was about, 9 months sober, and I came and put out the chairs for the first event. And I've tried to be, I've tried to help out on all of the weekends so far. So it's nice to be asked to actually come and share. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. I got a telephone call. Greg, would you like to speak on step six? Yeah, fantastic, there's nothing to say. That's great. Okay, so thanks. One paragraph, that's all it gives you in the big book. And there's a lot of paradoxes in Alcoholics Anonymous. Surrender to win is perhaps one of the most well-known paradoxes. I have to completely give up in order to see that I'm stuffed and that alcohol is my master. I get to step six and there's one paragraph in the big book. The paradox is that you've got to do it for the rest of your life. And it's one of the hardest things you're going to have to come across. That's my experience. On a daily basis, I have to look at those character defects that I find in step five and four, and they're the things that come up in my life on a daily basis. They're the things I have to work on every single day when I get shown them by my actions, by the situations that I walk into and come across in my daily life. When I did step four and five, I was given in the third column a whole bunch of instincts that I thought were a little bit out of, like the people had hurt, how people had affected me. That affected my pocketbook, that affected my ambitions, that affected my self-esteem. That's the sort of stuff, they're my instincts that are completely natural for most people. It's good to have self-esteem. It's good to worry about the fact that that we need to be able to pay the bills. That we need to have a job to actually, in this society today, we actually need a job to function, to pay bills. We need to have an income. But what happens for me as an alcoholic is that I worry about that extensively or excessively, and my instincts can become just that little bit off. I tend to take it to the absolute extreme degree. It's when I notice those things today that's when I have to pull up. So, for me, I work through my third column, I work through my fourth column, and I see where I've been selfish. I'm going to get these wrong now. Fearful, dishonest, inconsiderate, and self-seeking. Thank you very much. And they're my character defects that I take to step six. They're the things that I need to be willing to get rid of. And I have to be entirely willing to get rid of all of them. You know, there's a couple of words there, entirely. I have to be completely willing to get rid of them. Do I still want to be that little bit angry? Do I still want to be a little bit selfish about some stuff? Do I still want to be greedy with stuff? I look at those. Some people do a fifth column in their step four. I know that Joe and Charlie talk about a fifth column where they talk about how those character defects manifest themselves in their daily life. So you take those things, if you've done that sort of work, you can take those things to step six and you can take them and you can look at them and say, okay, I want rid of this stuff. Now, personally, when I read all of my character defects in my fourth column, I was done. I wanted rid of them. I didn't want to be that person anymore. Completely. That's all I wanted. That person was the person that drank and became, and on a daily basis, that sat in a a flat in South Melbourne and got to the bottle shop at 9 o'clock every morning and had a panic attack until I could crack the first beer on the way home, sat in a park outside of a kindergarten drinking the first beer thinking, nobody's watching me, nobody can see this, this is okay. I don't want to be that person anymore. I need to do a 180 degree turn to get rid of that person. I have to do the complete opposite of all of that stuff. Now, I mean, when I saw that stuff in my fourth column, I was ready. I didn't want to be that person anymore. When I first got sober, I was leaving the gallery meeting, and I was walking along Flinders Street, just up the other side of Swanston, and this lady, it was a warmish day, and an elderly lady collapsed at the tram stop, and I was sober. So I had my sober badge on, and I'm a new person written across my forehead, and I walked over and I was of assistance to this lady. And she needed help. When we got her some water and stuff like that, and some people came along from Yarra Trams and they bundled her up and they took her off. And I spent the next 2 hours wondering how she was going to get my name and address so that she'd ring me up and thank me. One of my character defects is self-obsession. I don't really want to be that person anymore. I want to be able to help people without actually having to think about what the consequences are for me. What's in it for me? One of my bigger character defects. One of my bigger character defects today that I'm trying to work on is mind reading. I'm really good at it. I know what you're about to say. In fact, I can even finish your sentences for you if you want. And you don't even have to ask. I just do it for you. I'm working on it. It's okay. I like to be in control of stuff. It really upsets me. I'm being kind. It really upsets me that I don't know the answers. That I don't know what's going on and I can't control stuff. I did a fear inventory not long ago. Wrote down about 20 fears and whittled them away and consolidated them and consolidated them. And then my sponsor said to me, so what's all this about? And we came up with one fear. The one fear that I got. Greg doesn't know everything. Really upset me. Not happy. But that's just the way it is. I don't want to be that person. So I have to stop being fearful. I have to stop and look at the evidence that's put in front of me of stuff. And actually just look at the evidence, not what my head tells me now. I want to be rid of that stuff. I guess it's about wanting to be the new person for me. It's about emotional sobriety because when people at work tell me that they don't think I'm doing the right thing, then I get all cut up. And they're just telling me that I'm not doing the right thing. That's their stuff. I need to know that I'm okay with whatever it is that I'm doing. I need to know in my heart that that's okay. And if it's okay and I feel okay with doing it, then it's the right thing for me to do. I find that stuff that I do that causes me angst is not the stuff that I should be doing. And that's God showing me that I should be doing things a different way. So I try and do things and am willing to do anything that is actually completely different to what my natural instincts tell me to do. They're talking the 12 and 12 about step 6 being about humility, being humble, to ask God that stick your hand up and say, I need help, I can't do this anymore. It's really tough to talk about humility, I find, because it's about... I mean, how do you humbly talk about stuff? I don't know. It's a bit of a paradox as well, I guess. But it's about, yeah, for me, it's the instincts that these people tell you, people upset me, basically, on a day-to-day basis. And I have to look at that and look at what they're actually saying to me. Because I'm a sensitive sort of person. And I have to look at what I'm doing. It's generally in step 10 when it talks about doing your daily inventory. It talks about the spiritual axiom that if I'm feeling uncomfortable, there's something wrong in a situation, something wrong with me. There's something inside me that's not quite right. And that's the sort of stuff that I need to be able to find so that I know what I'm dealing with and know what I need to get rid of. It's vital for me today that I continue to do things that I don't want to do, to participate in stuff that I don't want to participate in, to talk to people I don't want to talk to, because that's the growth area for me. It's the stuff I don't want to do. I don't want to pick up the phone and talk to people because they don't want to talk to me. There's no way that they want to talk to me. The fact that they gave me their phone number and said, call me, that means nothing. Because my head tells me that I'm not worthwhile. So what I do is I pick up the phone and I talk to somebody. And sometimes that conversation is, hi, how you going? I'm having a good day. How's your day? Thanks. Bye. That's it. I heard a guy share one night that first people that he rang, he got their voicemail, and he was really grateful for that, because he left a message, thanks, just practicing, click. I like voicemail. It's really good. I like SMS as well for the same reason. If they don't pick up the phone, I can SMS, and I've still done the work. It's in my head anyway. Are you serious about that? Okay. I don't know whether I got that.
We can shave minutes off, but it's about $10 a minute.
Okay. All right. Bill Wilson says in his story that when Evie came to see him in the hospital and they went through the process, that he asked God to take away from him that stuff that was stood in his way, root and branch. And it's the only time it's used in the big book that I've found, that term root and branch, take it away, root and branch. Now, I don't know whether you... what your concept of that is, but mine is that if I'm going to dig out something that's really obnoxious, then I have to dig deep, then I have to get everything, the entire root system out. I spent 41 years creating a person who was selfish, self-centered, fearful, inconsiderate, dishonest, and I want rid of that root and branch. And I've got to dig really deep to, it's just like magic. The CD player here has just come out. I want to get rid of that root and branch. There are a number of references in the big book to step 6 and step 7, about it taking a lifetime, about it being a lifetime work. I have to do it on a daily basis through my step 10. I have to look at what my day is and what happens throughout my day, and look at what I can do better and how I can change what I did to make it a better outcome for me. And I have to be willing to do that sort of stuff. It's hard work. It's annoying when you get home late or when you're tired, to actually sit down and look at the way you went about your work for the day, whatever that may be. The way I interact with people, and I have to look at all of that stuff. I have to do that for forever. That's the price I got to pay to live a nice, calm, emotionally stable life. to be able to recognise that stuff, to be able to sit and see that stuff and talk to people about it, to get other people's perspective on stuff, because my brain is not that flash. I find that my thinking is just a little bit screwed. Today in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've got enough friends and a sponsor and that I can talk to on a daily basis. In my home group, we meet for dinner beforehand, and we don't talk about AA as such. We talk about what our day's about, and we do all that stuff outside of the meeting, and we jibe each other about what we did through the day, and we have fun with each other's reactions to situations. It's a friendly sort of jibing, and it makes us see the funny side of what we do. Because we come to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings to share a message of hope, I believe, and not to talk about all the bad stuff that goes on. I do that outside of the meeting. Just my personal opinion. And it's really important for me to have those people so that I can actually bounce that stuff off of. Because otherwise I could stay the same person. And that person was a pretty sad, sorry sort of person, sitting in a park thinking that was okay and life was going along okay. But today I can know that by doing the stuff that I can do, by putting in the work on a daily basis, that life's great. Life's great if I stay out of the way of it. If I can sit and humbly ask my God to help me see what's going on for me and ask for that to be removed because I don't want to be that person, then my life goes okay. And the people around me seem to react differently too. That's the beauty. That's the payoff. I heard it said that to make sure that I get my 50% of whatever, I have to make sure that everybody else gets their 51% first. And if I make sure that you guys get what you need, then funnily enough, I get what I want too. About being unselfish, about being humble about what we do here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Going about quietly doing what you need to do to stay sober. And it's tough. It's a lot of work. But it's fun and it's rewarding. And I've got to say, I've had a not so, I don't know, not a not fairly unremarkable life, I guess. But quite regular in what I've done. But coming here to Alcoholics Anonymous and doing this stuff, doing these 12 steps, sitting in steps meetings, sitting in book studies, talking to other alcoholics, working with other alcoholics, that's got to be the best thing I've ever done. And I want to do it for the rest of my life because it's too much fun not to do it. Yeah. This is the best decision I've ever made, is to come here, to stay here, to stick to it, because I've never stuck to anything in my life. Mr. 80%, Mr. 110% until I've done 80 or 90% of it, and then I can see the finish line, and then I go, nah, what the hell? I don't need to do that last bit. Yeah. But I've actually stuck to this. And that's an amazing thing for me, just to stick to anything. And life's fantastic as long as I stop, think about it for longer than about 3 seconds, because otherwise I just get, you know, the first 3 seconds I go, oh, woe is me. But after that, I get incredibly grateful for the gifts that I've been given in Alcoholics Anonymous. So thanks for being here today. Thanks for asking me to share. Enjoy the weekend. This is a fabulous thing. Thanks.
This share and other shares like it are available from our website, stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting us share.